All of you get a gold star for getting to church today. Extra something, I don't know. It was a challenge for lots of people. But God is good. God is good. I have a whole bunch of prayer requests today. And I want to make sure that I mention them. The newcomers are heading off on a missions trip. And now I can't remember where you said you're going.
Ocala, Florida.
Okay, headed to California. Are you driving?
Ocala, Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Ocala, yeah.
Okay, not quite as bad as driving, but you're driving.
Yeah.
Oh boy, okay. And Tom and Judy Brazell are going to be heading off not too far in the distant future, right? I can't remember when your departure date is. 26th, when they head off on their home missions trip where they go all over the Eastern Seaboard visiting people who have been in ministry and who are in ministry, and God uses them to bring encouragement. We want to remember to pray for them. Carl told me about his friend Tyrone Booz. He has stage 4 cancer, and we want to pray and believe God to help him. Joe Spinelli, how many of you remember Joe? Well, Joe was in the hospital. He fell, broke his hip, and he rehabbed. They operated, he rehabbed. He fell again and fractured his pelvis, so he's in the hospital again. I want to lift him up and Lois, his wife. Want to ask you to pray for my son's sister-in-law, Evelyn Nyokas. She's in the hospital 32 weeks with her baby, and her blood pressure spiked to 220. Just serious, seizure, stroke level stuff. And they've sort of got it under control, but they're hoping she can keep her baby a little longer before they have to deliver it. And my niece's sister-in-law, we talked with them last night, terrible diagnosis of cervical cancer, and she's already had a lot of surgeries. We want to pray and believe God. We believe in a miracle-working God, and He is able to do what no doctor, what no man can do, and where medicine ends, God picks up, and sometimes God picks up way before medicine begins. So let's pray and believe God today. Lord, we thank you for these two couples that have set themselves toward doing missions work. We pray for Lynn and Sue, for Tom and Judy. Lord, we pray that even now you would go before and begin to prepare them and prepare the places where they're going, that you would use them mightily in your spirit, that the Holy Spirit would begin to bubble up inside of them and prepare them to go. Lord, we pray for Tyrone. We pray, God, that you would touch this man's cancer. Father, we're just not ready to give up yet. We pray in Jesus' name that you would break the hold of cancer in this man's life, Lord, and help him to know that Jesus loves him, that Jesus cares about him, that the living God wants to get a hold of his life in a new and fresh way. Touch him, Father. Lord, I pray for Joe Spinelli. Lord, I pray that you would encourage him, Father, even as this is such a hard blow after already being in the hospital and rehab for so long. God, I pray that you would help him again. Father, your mercies are new every single morning. So we thank you that here we are again, but it's okay because you're still faithful. God, help Joe. I pray that you'd help him. Give him your grace. Give Lois your grace. Lord, I pray for my son's sister-in-law, Evelyn, that you would help her and this precious child that she's carrying, that you would protect that life, and that you would protect Evelyn, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd cause her blood pressure to normalize, and you'd allow her to keep that baby inside of her as long as she possibly can. Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for my niece's sister-in-law, Lord, has received this disheartening diagnosis, but yet, Father, we just don't want to receive it. Lord, we pray that you would deliver her from cervical cancer, Lord, that you would deliver her from that, that it would the bond of it would be broken. Deliver her from that cancer in the name of Jesus. We pray that a continued work over our brother Pat, that you would do a mighty work in his body and continue to cleanse and deliver his system completely of every last speck of cancer. We believe you to do it. in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you did. I hope it was good. Whether it was good or not, as we said this morning, God is on the throne. He is Lord. Oh, here go the kids. Yay, away they go. All right. And now we have a new... Oh, I wanted to mention, too, we're going to, for anyone who's interested, and if you haven't gotten to me, please do. I'd like to start a new membership class. Anybody that's interested in membership in the church, membership does not make you a Christian. Membership does not give you any special points in heaven. Membership does not do any of that. All it does is where's Ed Wasdorp? 501c3. I always get it wrong because I mix it up with my retirement account. 501c3. It means we're tax exempt, and so there are some we aren't under a lot of New York State regulations, but we do jump through a few basic hoops because we like to be tax exempt. And membership means that you get a chance to vote on the things that we do when we have our annual church business meeting. It just kind of gives you a voice. It doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It doesn't make us love you more or love you less if you aren't. It doesn't any of that. And people who aren't members can still come to the annual church business meeting where we talk about business and we vote on things that are happening in the church. And there's lots of exciting things that we're starting to look at. Pastor Dave's retired and I've been dreaming the big dreams. And my wife's looking at me saying, "What are you doing? We're not ready to do that yet." But we're not too early to dream and believe God. So if you're interested in being a member, it's really not difficult. You sit with Pastor Dave. We have a couple of classes after church. We look at the church constitution. We talk about what it means to be a member. We sort of look at our statement of faith. Just make sure that everything's lined up and we agree. And we welcome you in that way. So if you're interested in membership, please come see me. Right now I've got just one person for sure on the list, but I know that there's more people out there thinking about it. Think fast. All right. Glory to God. Well, I am hoping that you had a very great holiday. I get excited about Christmas. We've been talking a lot about holidays in here at the church, especially, particularly the Jewish holidays, the Jewish feasts outlined in Leviticus 23. We sort of began marching down them. Didn't get very far because the Christmas holiday kind of showed up. But we're currently in our own holiday season for which some people it can be good and for some people it can be bad. You think, well, how can Christmas be bad? Well, yeah, for some people it's a really tough time of year. I've talked with a whole number of people who have had really tough issues, loss. They've lost it at Christmas time, and or not lost at Christmas time, but you particularly miss them over the holidays, and it's really not an easy thing. Our society puts a tremendous emphasis on personal relationships at Christmas and New Year's, which can be really difficult who have experienced loss or who are alone by themselves. Really hard. You know, these Hallmark movies. Oh, Finding Romance at Christmas. Oh, please. I mean, if you enjoy them, that's fine, but they kind of turn my stomach. It's a little hard to take. We tried to watch one and we shut it off. No, I know some of you like them, and that's okay. But today, as we look at the new year to come, I want to talk today about looking forward. The Bible talks a lot about looking forward and how important it is to have a forward vision. Oh, there, that's me. Oh, by the way, if you haven't silenced your phones, like Pastor Dave didn't, if you weren't here last week, it ding-donged all through service, and I keep forgetting to do it, so I will never judge someone if their phone goes off in a service, ever. Done. Okay, so anyway, where was I? Looking forward, the Bible talks a lot about looking forward and how important it is to have a forward vision. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. You know, New Year's resolutions conjure up that wonderful picture of exercise equipment thrown out onto the curb in March. You know, the stuff you buy, and you're going to do it, and then in March you're like, oh, forget it. And there, by the way, if you drive around in March, you can get some really good deals. Especially if you go up where my son and daughter-in-law live, oh, you can just find all kinds of stuff thrown out to the road, especially in March. All those New Year's resolutions. So I don't want to try to create an excitement about making resolutions and changes in the new year that lack any plan or substance. You know, that's just not what we want. But today I want to talk about having a forward spiritual vision. And in our walk with Christ, we often find ourselves in need of reassurance about the future. Do you feel like you have a need for reassurance about the future sometimes? How many of you watch the news? Probably a mistake sometimes. But it's just a play on creating fear. It doesn't matter what news you watch. There's just all kinds of terrible distress in the world. And you can look at your own life, you can look at your finances, and there's the opportunity there to have to need reassurance about the future. And probably if I make a New Year's resolution, it's going to be to quit watching the news so much. It's difficult. But I have 7 points I want to bring you today. And you think, oh my gosh, Pastor Dave, 7 points. Don't worry, we'll go through them pretty quickly. How to have a forward vision. How to keep looking forward. Oh, by the way, I have to say hi to Lene. Hello, Lene. Everybody get to see Lene. Yay, she's here. Came to visit. She didn't abandon us. As those of you know, she officially left. We prayed for her. She's ministering to more of her family up in Rochester area, but she's here with us today. Yay. She said she'd come back and visit, and I told her she'd be in trouble if she didn't. So she knows, and she knows I mean it. So, okay. How to have a forward vision. Number one, the promise. Forward vision is going to give us we can have a promise of a hopeful future. And that's probably the biggest thing. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This scripture reminds us that God has magnificent plans for you ahead. Don't let your brain tell you otherwise. The world will tell you everything's going to be horrible. Murphy's Law. I hate Murphy's Law, by the way, just personally. I hate it. I don't believe in it. I think it's like a curse. If anything bad can happen, it will. That's a curse. Don't walk in that. God has a magnificent plan for you, not meant to harm you, but to point us toward a bright future ahead. And that doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy and it's going to be wonderful and our life is going to be a tiptoe through the tulips with Tiny Tim. It doesn't mean that. But when we look forward in faith, we can be assured that no matter how tough things are now, the future is filled with God's promises. It's filled with His promises. He's there and He is going to be faithful. We sang about it this morning. You can know you can have a forward vision because of the promise of a hopeful future. Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Keeping our eyes forward, keeps our eyes on the goal and not on the obstacles. not on the obstacles. Paul said, I'm going to forget the junk. I'm going to forget the garbage back there. And I'm going to strain toward the prize. I'm going to set my eyes on it, forget the obstacles. That's what I'm running toward. I am running straight at Jesus. And remember that Jesus kept his eye on the goal. It says, Hebrews 12:2, he says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. In other words, he did not look, he did not fix his eyes on the cross. He fixed his eyes on the joy. What's the joy? Us! We're the joy! Jesus saw what was coming after, so he fixed his eyes on that. Did you know how depressing it would be if you fixed your eyes on the cross? That would be tough. If all you saw was you were going to face the cross, but he looked past it to the promises of God. And he was able to endure it. He was able to make it because he did that. Paul said forgetting what's behind. Now, does that mean that we just forget everything? We've been talking a lot about remembering. There's some important things to remember. We want to remember the faithfulness of God. We want to remember what he's done for us in our lives. We want to remember the miracles. Remember the lessons that we've learned. You know, sometimes you go through hard things and you better learn the lesson from it. You don't want to forget that. But he doesn't mean forget everything. We learn from the past. We learn to remember all that God's done, his faithfulness. But what Paul's talking about is about all the stuff that's in the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror, you know, when you drive and you look, the rearview shows you everything that's behind you. And all the stuff in your rearview mirror that discourages forward vision. What can some of those things be? It can be painful and traumatic experiences. How many of you have been through really painful and traumatic stuff? I know that lots of you have. And God is able to bring healing to those places. He wants to. He needs to. Because of past hurts in my life, I had a struggle that I didn't realize what it was. You know how sometimes you struggle with stuff and you're like, why is this? I realized I had a problem with self-pity. Now, I wasn't sitting around going, oh, poor me. It wasn't like that. It masqueraded itself as false humility, self-sacrifice, but there was always kind of some underlying thing there that was not good. It was painful, and I realized it came because of self-pity. It was a deception. And, you know, those painful things can get in and work their way in, and they can cause you to feel miserable, and you can't always put your finger on, what is it? Why do I feel so rotten? But it's painful experiences of the past that have never been healed. God wants to touch them. He wants to heal them, bring healing to them. Oh, I put it up here. No, I didn't. Well, that's it. The enemy of forward vision is the rearview mirror. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. He's going to do it. If you will be faithful to bring those wounds, and even if you, like, maybe you don't have a sense of, Lord, I know I'm wounded, but I can't put my finger on it, but Lord, I'm hurting. The Holy Spirit knows. Bring those things. He is able to heal. He's able to bring deliverance. I remember we had a lady in our church here, and she struggled for years, and the Lord, in a service, gave her a vision and showed her what God had done when she was adopted. She was an adopted kid. And how God chose her out and set her in a family where she would be loved, and something that she had wrestled with about being an adopted child broke that day. It broke off of her. She's serving God with her husband now, Angela Beal. Any of you remember? You guys know the Beals, yeah. They used to be part of this church. And God is just doing an incredible thing in their lives even today. God touched her and healed her. God can do it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Oh, I just love that verse in the NIV. Let the old stuff go and run and walk in the new. You know, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it great? But it's not only 20/20, it can also be a ball and chain. That hindsight, you can get tied to that stuff for years and years and years. Get all tied up in the stuff of the past and got to let it go. Got to let God bring healing to all of those places. He can do it. That bad hindsight can bind you up in the bitterness of the past, and it stems from old hurts. You know, I have found myself at times, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I have found myself at times getting angry and frustrated with people, and the really dumb thing about it is I'm angry and frustrated with people who are dead. They're dead. They're not even alive anymore, and I'm mad at them. Like, oh, but I remember what they did to me. I remember what they did to me. And you know what? I thought I forgave them. God, I forgive that person. And then 3 weeks later, I'm driving down the road. That stupid man. Oh, God, I did it again. No. I forgive them again. Unforgiveness is a tool of the devil. And it can bind you up in the bitterness of the past, and the devil can come and poke those old unhealed hurts and make you hurt again and make you angry and make you frustrated all over again for something that you forgave. But it comes up again if it's not healed. Whoa. Being mad at people who are dead, I thought, God, how stupid am I? This is so dumb. Oh. But you know, in your brain, you say, "Oh, I remember what they did to me," and the devil will poke at those things. So you forgive, and then you forgive again, and then when it comes up, you forgive again, and when it comes up, you forgive again. Does that mean you didn't forgive them the first time? No, you're walking through a journey of healing. God is healing you, and every time you progressively keep forgiving, something else gets healed inside of you. You've got to walk through it. Oh, glory to God. If nothing else, forgive so that God will forgive you. You know, Matthew 6:14-15, if you don't forgive others their sins, neither will my Father in heaven forgive yours. I mean, that's not bad. That's not wrong either. If you want God to forgive you, you better forgive other people. I'm like, oh God, I want you to forgive me. So I'll forgive them. You know, it's the truth. But whatever, let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. Whether it's painful experiences of the past. Oh, how about one other enemy that you can see in the rearview mirror? Regret. Anybody ever struggle with regret? You know what regret is? Oh, if only I had done so. If only. Or if only I hadn't done this or that. That awful regret is a real, real enemy. Gotta let it go. That was then, this is now. Anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Let go of those old regrets. And sometimes we have to live out the consequences of things that happen, but you're not there anymore. The things that happened in the past, you can spend the rest of your life feeling miserable about them, or you can move ahead. You're not there anymore. Leave it with God. Set your eyes forward. Let it go. Let it go. Don't be torn up in the past. Forward vision requires strength. As we anticipate what's ahead, got a whole new year coming up, folks. Are you nervous about it, or are you believing God? Are you looking forward and ahead that God's going to do something awesome, or are you worried about what's going to happen? As we anticipate what's ahead, it's vital that we draw strength from God. Have to do it. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not the problem. So looking at the new year, fix your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to be able to anticipate all the awesome stuff that he wants to do. Fix your eyes on, well, you know, whatever else you can fix your eyes on. It isn't going to be exciting. Fix your eyes on it, not the problem. I love this scripture. And the emphasis, the underlining is mine. It's not in the scripture. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Notice, all of that is future tense. I will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to strengthen you. I am going to help you. I am going to uphold you. Can you receive it? Can you believe it? If you can lay hold of that scripture and believe it, you're not going to worry about the junk that can happen. And what if a whole bunch of junk happens the next year? Does it matter? I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. It's his promise. Oh, glory to God. He's going to do it. Future tense. He can give you the strength to walk through whatever you need to walk through. I really like this one. This is exciting. Forward vision finds joy in anticipation. Oh, when I was a kid, I just anticipated Christmas. Like, oh, it's coming. I couldn't wait. I was a naughty child one year. I peaked. Any of you ever peak? I peaked, and I knew where they had the presents, and I peaked. What a mistake. I saw this really cool gift. And it was for my brother. I'm not talking about that kind of anticipation. Oh, looking forward can bring joy if you're looking at Jesus. When we hold on to our hope and God's promises, we can find joy knowing that greater things are coming. Oh, greater things are coming. I love Sister Denise is always talking future tense. God's coming. He's going to do it. It's coming soon. She always says that. I hear you all the time, Denise. Oh, God is, you're always like, I know God is going to be moving in power. He's come. Why are you looking at me like that? You know you say that all the time. Oh, you don't say soon? Oh, I thought you did. God's going to do it. She's like, I heard you say the other day, and I don't believe it's far off. God's going to move. But believe in God for what he's going to do. Anyway, I rejoice in it. You can say it to me all you want. Because it makes me anticipate the goodness of God. And then you get excited. Then you have something to get excited about. Oh, if I don't have something to look forward to. I remember once I was very discouraged. I was busy to the max. I didn't have a spare moment. It was very discouraging, and I had some very difficult things happening at school, and people were saying terrible things about me, and I'm like, God, I can't live like this. I need something to look forward to. You know, God knows that. And sometimes knowing that you're looking forward to heaven when you're going through it on earth, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. But when I remember that God is faithful to bring me through, that he's going to give me strength, give me that power to make it through, oh, it lifts something of that terrible burden off of you. Psalm 126:5, those who plant in tears will harvest, oh, I love it, with shouts of joy. Some of your versions say with songs of joy. I like the shouts of joy. There's something really jubilant about it. Yeah, it's coming. So if you faithfully sow, even if it's difficult, we have the promise that we're gonna have the shout. It's gonna happen. Why? Because God is faithful. He is faithful. Those people that you're praying for, those people that you're sowing into them, the Word of God, you're loving them in Jesus, and you want to see them come into the kingdom and get saved. Keep planting. Will harvest with shouts of joy. Oh, glory to God. God calls us to live joyfully today while eagerly awaiting the wonderful things he's planned. Proverbs 10:28, I kind of like this one too. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Oh, the awful expectations and plans of the wicked. Who wants to live there? Do you want to be the people who expect and anticipate horrible things? Don't be there. Don't be there. Let your mind think on the things that are good and virtuous and right, as we're told in the scriptures. Think on those things. God wants you to have something to look forward to. Always, always, always. Forward. Let's go on. I told you I'd go through these points pretty quickly. I don't have an awful lot to share today, believe it or not. How many of you thought when I said 7 points, we were going to be here a long time? No, yeah. Forward vision requires trusting God's timing. Oh, boy. You know, the glorious and joyful truth is this. Sometimes we get to wait. Yay! Isn't it great? Waiting is a gift from God. Well, Abraham had to wait. How long did he have to wait? Oh, long, till his body was dead, till Sarah's body was dead. I mean, they were actually dead, but they were unable to naturally reproduce. We won't go any farther than that. They had to wait, and they waited until it was impossible. Israel had to wait how many years in Egypt under slavery? Oh, a long time. Hannah had to wait. She had to wait and wait and wait for Samuel, for her child. She was childless. Elkanah said, "Aren't I worth more than 7 sons to you?" And she's like, "No, I want my child." And she prayed and prayed and cried out to God. And then it happened. Sometimes we have to wait. Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, she had to wait. She was much in the same situation as Abraham and Sarah. She was waiting. She was old. Didn't expect to have a child at that age. And she had John the Baptist. But God made her wait. Oh, yay, we get to wait. Psalm 27:14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. Forward vision requires that we learn to trust God's timing. We have to trust His timing. If you don't trust God's timing, you're going to get discouraged and want to give up. Jesus told a parable. He said that all men should pray and not give up. And we won't go into the parable, but the principle there is we ought to always pray and not give up. And the way that we don't give up is by trusting God's timing, that it's coming, but we don't know when, we don't know how, but we know. But we know. I got some people, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know. I know God's going to get them. But I'm waiting. While looking forward, it's easy to become impatient and anxious, waiting for God's plan to unfold. But Psalm 27:14, be strong and courageous. Wait on the Lord. If we can trust God's timing is perfect, we can release our worries and live in peace. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will, there's that future tense again, He will direct your path. He will direct your path. He's going to put you on the right road. But you have to trust and acknowledge Him and be willing to wait. Forward vision means embracing change. Yay, don't we love change? Oh, do you know, God is really excited about change. He really is. God is excited about change. Listen to the tenor of this passage in Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now, I don't understand enough of the Hebrew to understand why there's an exclamation point in here, but there's something declamatory. He's like, look, I'm going to do something cool. I'm doing something brand new. Look at it. Now it springs up. Don't you see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is excited about doing new things. We are not always excited about doing new things. We like it the way it always has been. How many of you like to be comfortable? Change makes us uncomfortable. I mean, it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old is gone, the new has come. Looking forward, we're certainly going to encounter change. And change equals growth. No change equals stagnation. Look at a lake or a river. What's the difference between a lake and a river or a swamp? There's no change. There's no exchange in the swamp. There's no outflow. It just sits there and it gets stagnant and dead. But where there's a flow, an inlet and an outlet, there's life. There's always life there. Change can be challenging. It can be annoying at times. But it's an opportunity for spiritual growth. And embracing change means that we're able to step into something maybe new or unknown with faith. With faith. But this is a tradition. We have to do it like this every time. You know, when Jesus came, he changed everything. Everything was different. Oh my goodness. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. He ushered in the age of grace and everything was different. And who didn't like it? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? That's not how we do it. We keep the Sabbath. We don't heal people on this. We don't do it on the Sabbath. We don't do this. It's not done. You didn't wash your hands. You didn't. And they're saying this to God. They're saying that to God. Well, we don't want to change anything. Well, it's just incredible. The religious leaders who should have been out in front, who should have been running with the vision, were the ones that opposed Jesus. In church history, every wonderful new move of God, you know who persecutes it? The move before it. We had the Protestant Reformation, then we had the Anabaptists who decided, oh, you know what? I think we should have faith before we get baptized. You know, you should accept Christ. You should be saved. And they didn't like it. So they said, oh, yeah, you want to be baptized? Fine, we'll baptize you. And they dunk them under the water until they drowned. These were Christians from the previous move who said, that's not the way we did it. That's not how God moves. Got to be willing to change. Oh, some of you are like, I I've been talking a lot about technology and social media. You know, our world is out in social media. Do I enjoy social media? Well, not really. You know, I try to not be on it too much, a little bit. But that's where people are. And if I've got to change to get to them, then that means I've got to learn how to post to Instagram and post to Facebook and update these things and read the meta-analyses and find out how. But it's change and it's good and it makes us grow and it helps us to reach people in the world. We've got to be willing to change, folks. Do you know that the Eastman Kodak died? You know why it died? It was the happening thing years ago. Film and photography, and George Eastman ushered in a new world of that, and somebody in their back room said, hey, I've got a great new idea. This is awesome. And this guy came out and he said, what if we learned to do this digitally and we can do this and that? And they looked at it and they're like, but this is completely different. And they said, that's a great idea. Just take it back in the back room with you. And they stuck it in the back room. The Japanese thought about it. They jumped into it and did it. And Eastman Kodak got buried because they didn't change. Whoever thought, my father worked for IBM. It was the booming thing. Computers everywhere. And then along came something different, microcomputers. And IBM was like, no, we build mainframes. We build the big mainframes. They didn't jump into the change. And the rest of the world went into microcomputers, and IBM went, my father had all this stock in IBM, and he passed away. And I think my mom was able to sell some of it off before it tanked. But boy, what a hit. Now, those are a couple of secular, you know, non-spiritual examples. But the principle is you change or you stagnate. And having a forward vision means the willingness to jump into something new with faith into the unknown and move ahead, because God is always changing. Wait, I thought God was always the same. No, the way God does stuff, He changes all the time. How many ways did Jesus heal somebody? He didn't give us a formula. He did it differently every time He healed somebody. Sometimes He touched them. Sometimes He stuck mud in their eyes. Sometimes He spit on them. Sometimes, I mean, He just did all kinds of different stuff. Be willing to change. Glory to God. Embracing change means we're able to step into something unknown with faith, and it can be really exciting. Number 7, looking forward is the only way we can follow Him. If you're not looking forward, you can't follow Him. How did Israel follow the cloud and the pillar of fire in the wilderness? They had to watch it. They had to. When the pillar got up, they got up. They had to watch it. They had to follow it. It's the only way that we can follow Him. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And I really like that, because I want you to get the principle at the head of that. Follow me and I will make you. Did you catch it? Follow me and I will make you. He doesn't say, follow me and then go out and do a bunch of stuff. He says, follow me and I will make you. I'm going to transform your life if you will just, eyes forward, follow me. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's out in front. That's the only way we can do it. Eyes forward. Oh, we're heading into a new year. Are you expecting God to do great things? Are you approaching it with dread, or are you expecting God to do new things? Or maybe there's a little bit of both, but I believe we can believe God for an incredible thing in the time to come. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that we can look forward, that we can believe You to do the miraculous, that You do great and mighty things. And Lord, we just are believing You in this season. Father, and in the year to come, we know that You are on the move. And Father, I pray that You would help us to have an anticipation for the good things that You're going to do, that we would be able to quit looking in that rearview mirror, let go of the stuff that tries to, the tendrils that try to grab on to us from our past, even if they seem to be gone and then all of a sudden they show up again. Help us to keep cutting those tendrils off. Cut them off, all that garbage from the past, and help us to look toward the future, to anticipate and believe, be willing to change, and be willing to follow all the good things that You have. Help us to trust You and to be faithful to step out. And God, we believe You for it. We believe You to miracles and good things in the future. Father, and we know that You can give us strength even when it's tough, even when the times are hard, that You can help us to fix our eyes on You, not the problems. Help us to walk through, Lord, and we can even pass through the fire so that we won't be burned. We won't be burned up. We'll go through it because You walk through that fire with us. Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this can be your salvation day. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, we would love to pray for you today. We're going to open up the altar in just a moment. And if you have other needs in your body or in your physical self or in your mental self and you need prayer, please don't leave today without coming forward for somebody for prayer. I'm going to ask our worship team if they would come forward. We're going to finish with a song today. But I want to encourage you, if you are here today and you don't know for sure that your end point is heaven, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you're trusting God as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you today. You can meet Jesus, and today can be your day to be born of the Spirit of God. Glory to his name. Could we stand one more time? And I would like to finish with the song that we sang, Trust in God. We can trust him. We can absolutely trust him as we look into a new year. God is able to do it. Thank you, Father. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the